I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, welcome back. It is 4:04. Right. We are talking squash.
We are, and real quick
today,
I got to throw this out. I was staying in my patio. I didn't realize we were advertising this, but the new podcast series on the 20th anniversary of Almost Famous, mm-hmm. which is one of the best movies of all time, we're promoting that. Which I was like, oh my god,
they're a client.
Yeah, I was like, who knew?
Was that on our air?
Yeah, it was on our air. And I follow Cameron Crowe on Twitter, who's the director and writer of it. And I was listening to that. I listened to the first three episodes today when I was staying in my deck. And if you love Almost Famous, and you should, or if you haven't seen it, shame on you. That is a great, I think there's six of them. I'm through three of them now. They're about 45 minutes each. Really, really cool thing if you're looking for something kind of different to listen to while you mill around.
Right. Somebody brought up Vicky Boatwright.
Yeah, someone said, if you want to get excited about squash, look up Vicky Boatwright. And it blows my mind that some listener out there knew who the bad girl of squash was.
Yeah, her name's Vicky Boatwright, and she does have the awkward posing with the squash racket in a bikini photos.
Yeah.
Like sexy.
And she's not really sexy, but I guess
she's attractive.
Cute. Yeah, she's cute.
It's squash. I mean, what do you want? But the audience knowledge collective is always astonishing.
Like, yes.
When you do a radio show, one thing you learn is how big of an idiot you are, because when you've got a lot of people listening to you, you inevitably don't know something. There's always somebody out there or a group of people out there or a lot of people out there who know that thing. And then they think you're an idiot because you don't know that one thing.
Yeah.
And they know everything. Like, there is nothing that we could toss out that somebody's like, Jesus, idiot. You don't know that the square root of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what I told that guy, I said, it blows my mind that you knew that. And he said, hey, that's what I do. And
Vicky Boatwright.
He didn't look that up.
He had Vicky
Boatwright holstered. And like, what, you guys talking squash? Have you seen Vicky Boatwright? No, I haven't.
The audience is great. And they should have a show.
Just one big audience show.
They would know everything.
It is true. Well, the collective we, that or, you know, the collective Google.
Okay, so in the news coming up, you were talking about, we were talking about Stanford cutting 11 varsity sports.
Yes.
And their obscure sports, I guess from Sports Illustrated, this means now that 56 sports have been cut this year in college, most since 2006, when 66 were cut. So.
Yikes.
By sport. Tennis is by far the most that has been cut. 15 tennis teams have been dissolved. 5 golf teams, 5 swim teams, 4 track teams, 4 fencing teams, and then the rest, 3-2-1. But as we said, tennis gets cut a lot because the cost of facilities and international rosters in this. And somebody texted and they said, hey, I played tennis in college. If there was no program, I'm still eligible to go to school there. I would just have loans like everyone else, because you were talking about the opportunity of kids who are going to play non-revenue sports getting an education through sports when they will no longer be able to do that. Well, first of all, if you took all non-revenue athletes, how many are you talking on a campus?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
it's not that many compared to how many.
Sure, the average
kids are out there. But what I was going to tell you that I read today that I thought was interesting is another viewpoint on exactly what you said. And it was from a woman by the name of Victoria Jackson, who ran track at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And she wrote an opinion piece, and this was a couple of years ago. This has nothing to do with
COVID,
Black Lives Matter, and all the stuff that's going on right now. Well, I mean, it does, but it's before all this started. But she does not support non-revenue sports at the college level.
Really?
And like I said, she ran track at Arizona State. It paid for her education. In her words, she said, quote, "The predominantly white privilege of playing college sports while earning a quality degree comes at the expense of, is literally paid for by the educationally unequal experiences of mostly black football and basketball players," end quote.
Hmm.
She got her college paid for by largely black football and basketball teams that got no money to entertain largely white audiences with white coaches making millions.
And most of the time, the education, we've talked about this.
And that's what I think she's insinuating in there.
The education,
those kids are not getting real educations, yet she is. To her point, maybe, and I think that's interesting, never thought about it that way. To her point, how many non-revenue scholarship athletes are kids that can afford college otherwise?
Yeah.
Or even if they do get a few loans and don't play sports, they're going to be fine, right? Like, we think of football and basketball
disadvantaged in rougher neighborhoods,
but her
minority.
Her point is most of the non-revenue athletes are white, and many of them are from pretty elite parts of the U.S. because they're elite athletes in these sports, which are very expensive to participate in, and at the high school level to get college scholarships in, they're all pretty elite white folks.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that is not a bad point.
I had never thought about that, but it's, you look at all those sports that's especially that Stanford cut, right? Those kids are going to be fine. Those kids are going to be able to afford to go to college, or again, they're unfortunately going to have to take out loans like everyone else. But I never thought about that. That is a very, very good point, because I do come from a background of where I know a lot of kids. I was kind of one of those kids. My support structure right before I went to college, my dad lost his job. And so, it was one of those that if it wasn't for football, I don't know if I would have gone. If I did, I would have racked up student loans like everyone else. But I played with plenty of guys that was their way out.
Without that,
they're never going to college.
That's football.
That's football. And it's probably basketball.
And football's football.
Yeah.
You know, as you well know.
Football is football.
Football is definitely, we've heard before,
many times.
Football is football.
Football is football.
But if you're an elite swimmer, particularly individual sports, I think, you're an elite swimmer, you're an elite tennis player, you're an elite golfer, to get to the place where you're getting college scholarships, don't you have a little bit of coin?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got a buddy of mine.
In order to be able to compete, to just even participate and do all the traveling that it takes to.
Well, I got a buddy of mine that he's got a place out in Vail. And obviously, Vail is not a poor community, right? And it's a big ski community. And we were talking about this one time that a couple of his neighbors had kids that were going through the skiing system. And he was talking to me one day about the cost to be an Olympic skier, right? To have to, I think his neighbor's daughter did moguls, right? Is that the little bumps?
Moguls, right?
Moguls.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the cost. And she, I think, came just shy of the Olympics. I think she ended up being like an alternate on it. And just the cost was just mind-blowing. About all the different travel and the money that you had to sink into that. And, we talk about this all the time, even in sports like baseball and soccer, even, that they're becoming rich white kid sports, right? That you can't afford. It's all travel teams, and it's just,
That's right.
We've been talking about this for years, that it's pricing kids out, but you're right in that
it's not all of them. Like, somebody brought up track and field. That's a good one.
Sure. But
it's not expensive.
It's not, but a lot of the others
are
really becoming, it's a pay to play thing. If you don't have money, you're not playing it. And the two exceptions are really, right, basketball and football, which are largely dominated by African Americans. And a lot of those come from, not great family or not great financial backgrounds.
Yeah, if you want to read what she wrote, her name is Victoria Jackson. She was a track star at Arizona State. And I just never heard that viewpoint before or ever thought about it that way. And I think she's largely right. Now, of course, there are always going to be exceptions, but that's a very big, that's a big consideration that not a lot of people think about.
Yeah. No, it's a, and for someone who benefited from that, it's an interesting piece, especially exactly. said it came out years ago and not
well two years ago,
but still not in the height of this. It's just it's hard because I didn't come from from that world.
We're used to the non-revenue sports just being there, but if they're not there, is it the worst thing?
Yeah.
If we're not paying for those and these kids are playing club sports or they're
I remember when I lived over in Europe, one of the things that was asked a bunch was when we were talking to, because we would do like for the NFL Europe, we would do like camps, right, where we would coaching clinics and working with you know people trying to expand the American football, and I remember so many conversations about football growing up and kind of what it was, and we had this conversation about youth sports and high school sports and college sports. And I'm here to tell you, we're the only ones that really kind of do it this way. Almost everything else is very much club teams.
And it makes more sense.
Yeah.
And they're talking about that on the high school level, right?
Yeah.
Just going club.
Yeah. It's like, but then you get into that, you know, it all comes down to who has the opportunity to play. And what's really crappy is, you know, a lot of people say that it's either just going to become, again, if you have money, you can play. And if you don't, you don't. Or the ones that come from disadvantaged backgrounds, you know, that's where the coach ends up taking them in, or the magic scholarship. And then you just kind of hunt and peck for the kids that are your kind of prodigies or the ones that stick out. And for a lot of those other kids, they never have an opportunity at that. It just kind of falls through the cracks.
All right. Up next, we have two late breaking major institutions who have halted voluntary football workouts. 4:15 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, we've got the latest Oregon COVID count coming up next in the news. News you can trust. Numbers you can trust.
Whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
Your agenda. You and Lynch.
My fake news reports.
Your fake news agenda.
7,000 new cases in Oregon today.
What are we, from the new Florida? I think Texas.
That was a joke, by the way.
Yeah, Texas or Florida. I forget which one of them topped 10,000 the other day. I saw
that was Florida.
Florida, 10,000 new cases. Hooray!
We are not that high.
No.
I can assure you of that.
No, we are not.
Now,
or are we? And they're lying to us.
I like that guy. That guy's like, ah.
No one can trust anything.
Oh, it was Joe West. The Major League Baseball umpire came out and said he doesn't trust all the death numbers.
That's all.
He's like, I've been through a lot. I've survived a lot. I'll survive this.
Yeah. Those bodies stacking up in New York were all fake. We did have someone on this program like a month or two ago that was like, where are the bodies? And he was being serious.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
You know, they're in trucks because there's no more space in the morgue, but, you know.
And then there are others who think it's just for the election.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is all made up just so that they can get Trump out of it.
After November, then it'll magically be
also,
cleared
up. You know, 5G and Bill Gates.
You got a lot of good stuff out there.
Jim Harbaugh, he's out there speaking.
Yeah, I got his quotes today.
We've got both Harbaugh brothers, you know, have now had some
hot. Well, you knew they'd be hot taking about this.
Of course.
So wait, let me get to the late breaking news. And it is that, and this could affect and most likely will affect Oregon. So I just wanted to tell you that Ohio State and North Carolina are the two schools who have now, just within the last couple of hours, paused voluntary workouts. Now, Ohio State will not release its numbers, but obviously it was enough for them to pause their football workouts.
Yeah.
And North Carolina said, I think, 12, I think, positives or something out of what they had. Don't quote me on that.
I think there was 12, and then there was a couple places are doing this where the official number is different than the number of people quarantined. Right. As we were talking, the MLS, they confirmed the other four cases. It was Nashville that had 5 and then 4 were waiting. They confirmed the other 4 had it. And so there's 9. So I think North Carolina is doing that.
So pertaining to Oregon, it is being reported by Tom Deanhart of Rivals, who's still covering college football, by the way. Good dude, Tom Deanhart.
Yeah.
Ohio State has paused all on-campus workouts after a COVID outbreak. Again, we don't know the numbers. Now Tom Deanhart is saying that the Big Ten is most likely just going to have a 10-game schedule, and that is only conference games, meaning Oregon, Ohio State will not be played.
Yeah.
So that is not official. He's just reporting that, but he says his source there is a Power 5 head football coach.
Well, and remember, too, that a lot of these times, these non-conference games, there's a quite a big a payday where one school has to pay out to the other, and in the midst of a bit of a financial crisis, no one wants to write cut a big check right now when you're not going to have any of that revenue coming back. So this won't shock me at all if every Power Five just goes to, hey, we're just going to do conference games, or maybe you have one out of conference game if it's local. But I can't imagine that anyone that's doing a home and away with someone would want to have your game played with no fans in front of it.
Well, wouldn't Ohio State want that? If you're going to Autzen, you'd rather play with no fans there.
Sure, but I'm
guessing. And then get fans when they come back to Columbus.
I'm guessing that Oregon doesn't want to do that.
Well, that's what I was saying yesterday. Is like, if you're an Oregon fan, I know it sucks, but don't you just want to punt on Oregon, Ohio State? You want those two games, whenever they play them, if they play them, you want them in, quote, normal times.
Yeah. That you're right, and that is such a big program-defining game for a place like Oregon.
You don't want to play that under...
No.
With like half a crowd or a third of a crowd or no crowd, somewhere else.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. You don't want anything to do with that. And by the way, I looked up the North Carolina thing. They're not saying how many football players, but they're saying 37 athletes, coaches, and staff inside the athletic program. So 37 out of 429. So they've hit the pause button on that.
Yeah, all right. Well, Ohio State sitting there just ducking Oregon like that.
Yeah, they don't want them.
It's all a ruse.
Yeah. Ohio State is shivering in their shorts coming to Autzen because they never go play in any big games. But, you know, with the Ivy League making the decision today to just pull the plug on it and they're not going to have fall sports, this wouldn't shock. I had this conversation yesterday with a Coug fan. He would, bless his heart, he was, you know, no, football's going to happen and everything's going to be fine and our athletic program's going to be fine. I think there's just a lot of diehard college football fans that are just, they're going to bury their head in the sand and just believe like Jim Harbaugh that this is going to happen.
What do we have if we don't have hope, Jason? Come on.
We are what? You get to the end of July. I think, what are they saying? Like July 24th, right? Is kind of like you have to have decisions made.
That last week in July.
Yeah. You're two and a half weeks away, and you've got how many different programs now that can't bring athletes on campus that are pausing workouts? And by the way, they're workouts that you haven't been able to have in all summer. I just think it's absolutely ludicrous to believe that in 2.5 weeks, magically, this is all going to disappear. We're going to be like, well, business is usual. And by the way, in some states, you can't even have team practices. It would violate the number of people that could be gathered safely. You literally can't have practices right now in some states. And you think that's going to disappear in 2 weeks? It's not going to happen.
No, I don't see football happening. But, you know, again, I'm going to hope that it will because I want to see it. As far as what happens in non-conference games, like, I think that the best case scenario, it kind of feels like the best case scenario, just thinking logically about college football season, is every conference does its own thing with just conference games because they're regional, largely.
Yeah,
and each region of the country right now is different in terms of how it's handling the pandemic. So every conference just kind of does its own thing. You scrap all non-conference games, which clears up a lot of mess and travel. And then you just, each conference is on its own for deciding its parameters by which to play conference games. And then that is the best case scenario for college football right now.
Yeah.
I don't think anything better than that is going to occur. Quite frankly, I don't think any football is going to happen. I'm back to that. I was swayed off of that hot take from a couple of months ago. I was like, dude, we're done for 2020. Just lock it. And then all this hope, and now I'm like, eh. I think I might have been right the first time.
It's possible. I was with you. I just kind of, it felt like for a while that maybe we were through this a little bit and that football just was going to find a way to persevere. And yeah, it's football.
We were too ambitious.
I don't think it was too ambitious. I think there were states that were leading
football's
the way.
Football.
When you saw what Texas and Bama and Florida and Arizona were doing, they just were giving everyone the finger and were like, hey, we're going to do what we want to do. And Gene Smith from Ohio State, he actually came out and said he thought that they could get maybe 50,000 people in the shoe. You know, he's like, so when you heard these sorts of things, it was real easy to just be like, hey, whether this is good for anyone or not, they're going to go ahead and do this.
Then we were reminded.
COVID-19. By the way, why don't we just get him on? What's up with Kenneth Copeland? Why doesn't he just...
I thought he blew it away, but...
Well, it's back.
Clearly he didn't.
We need a second round of the Wind of God.
Also, the summer heat's not really doing anything.
Well, it hasn't been really hot here, so.
I'm not talking about here.
Well, somebody made a good point about that yesterday. They were like, well, it gets so hot, everybody goes inside. Yeah. And then it spreads like wildfire.
It was interesting, yeah, because they were saying, like, in places like Texas, Florida, Arizona, where it's just Vegas, it's ridiculous temperatures. Yeah, who wants to be outside when it's 95 degrees and 70% humidity? And, yeah, you go inside and you got all the AC, and now everyone's congregated together, and all of a sudden you have this. But I just think that to me, when a lot of the red states are getting kicked squarely in the balls by this thing, and you're seeing them having to roll this back and not just hit pause, but kind of go the opposite direction, I think that's a real sobering it's a sobering statement about where athletics is going to play a role in all this.
It's not looking good, man. But
no, and I would think, to me, if you're college football, and I'm just spitballing here, and you know the Ivy League is going to boot this and maybe try to play in the spring, I think you can make a strong case that even if it threw everything off balance as far as star players, like, you know, the Penei Sewells of the world, if you played in spring, there's no reason for him to play, or Trevor Lawrence's of the world, you lose a handful of the elite players, even if you lose, you know, 60 or 70 guys across the country, you know, the elite guys that are like, I'm not doing this, and it throws everything out of whack. The idea of playing with fans and trying to salvage some semblance of financial security, because the only reason why this is even a consideration is because it's such dire times for athletic programs financially if you can't play football. But wouldn't you be better off trying to pause this thing and try to salvage something where you could actually try to make some money in the spring, as opposed to going ahead and playing in front of fans? And even though you play those games, you're still talking about a 60, 70% reduction in income coming into your athletic programs. I think that if this is clearly about money, and I don't know what else this is about, this is about money, the better or the safer bet is to try to postpone it and wait and see if there's a vaccine or if this blows over in 6 to 8 months, and then try to take a crack at it then.
Yeah, but then they were talking about how the quick turnaround, you know, to the next fall season is tough. So I don't, you know, all these things that they're, look, if they can get it in, they will.
Yeah.
And they're damn sure going to try.
Well, you have to
find
a way, because without it, you're in a...
Right, but it just looks like a mess. It just looks like an absolute mess. The only one that I feel like has a shot is NBA. I feel like that has a shot.
Have you seen some of the early reviews from the bubble?
Well, I saw the food.
See the Fire Festival? Someone was tweeting some cockroaches.
Yeah, there's a cockroach.
That was WNBA.
No, that was the NBA.
That was the NBA.
So there's a cockroach? Who cares?
I think the idea is that, you know, the
experience
is
not
going so great so far.
Not going so well.
Oh, for heaven. Because there's a cockroach? Good grief, fellas. I think they got a shot.
I'm just saying, if you're trying to keep people in the bubble, right, and that's the only way that this is working, is if you keep guys in the bubble, because you know if you go out of it, you're going to get hooped. Well, that's what they're saying with the MLS. Nashville, and who was the other one? Dallas?
Oh, yeah, you had hot MLS news for us.
Well, Nashville ended up with the 9 confirmed cases. So basically, Nashville is going to be done. They haven't made that decision yet, but it sounds like every team, the other, 24 teams, want to boot Nashville. I guess Nashville and Dallas both had going away parties before they went into the bubble. They had a party, and then sure enough, both of them were littered with positive cases. The only way this works is if you keep them in the bubble. And if you have sketchy food and you have cockroaches, good luck getting millionaire NBA athletes to respect the bubble. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I just think that
the WNBA situation is that's just a whole other, that thing's just a joke.
I just feel like the way the NBA has structured it, that has a chance to finish, because again, they don't have that much left. Well, certainly the 8-game, you know, the 8-game thing, I think they can get through. And then, I don't know. In other words, if I'm rating optimism, NBA, I'd be most optimistic. Everything else, boy, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic about anything. I think at this point, it's all just you're white knuckling it and hoping for the best. But college football,
but money, baby.
I have the least faith.
Money, baby.
I have the least faith in college football.
So what happens to Washington, Michigan, and Oregon, Ohio State? Hopefully, it gets rescheduled.
I hope so.
You know. I mean, according, I think they want the payday of those games. There's a reason why they put those games on the schedule in the first place. Hopefully they just they move them back a year.
Yeah. Well, if you're Jim Harbaugh.
But no one knows.
Harbaugh's like, F it. Let's just play him. Jim's ready to go.
Well, he's ready to play. And his, well, we got a break. I'll read you his quotes next hour.
Yeah, because we got in the news.
Look at you following right along.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to get the payouts for the
for those games.
I'm trying to find what that is, because I just
couple mil.
I just think right now there's going to be a lot of schools that are really hesitant to write $1 million checks for teams to come play them when you're not going to make any money because there's no gate, there's no revenue coming in. I just think it's right. Sketchy.
So we'll get to Harbaugh's quotes later, but next in the news, first Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up at a very convenient time for you. 5 o'clock, or thereabouts. Right now it is July 8, 2020. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Jason, do you remember the first time you heard a dog fart?
I do.
Me too.
It's hilarious.
Isn't that a magical time?
It is.
Life, I feel like the first time you hear a dog fart, life becomes more enriched.
It's more whimsical.
Because you never thought about it before.
No.
And then you hear it and it's so funny.
Yeah, because normally it's just a silent but deadly, but the first time you audibly hear one, you're like.
and then you just want them to fart all the time.
Yeah.
You think it's great.
It is.
Today is Dog Farting Awareness Day. So beware.
I have two bulldogs, and I'm here to tell you that if you'd like to be aware of dog farts that are audible, get yourself some bulldogs because it's quite hilarious.
It is also International Day of Pink.
Oh,
I've got your little mic.
Got my pink microphone right here.
Your little microphone cover there. Yeah.
That's
right in.
I have pink workout shoes and black and pink wrist straps.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not afraid of the color pink.
Real men can pull off pink.
Yeah. Really, the shoes I was buying, it was the only color that was left available. And then the black and pink was to honor the great Bret Hart. One of my favorite, athletes, wrestlers.
Is he dead?
No, he's still around, but I like the
Are you sure?
The late great Bret Hart. Yes,
late great.
He's
late. Dead.
No, sorry, the retired, but still alive Bret
I'm
Hart.
I'm so confused.
He's alive.
Oregon reports 4 more coronavirus deaths and 217 new cases.
Apparently, we had a listener that passed away. Someone tweeted us
at the GoFundMe.
Yeah, a GoFundMe account. I guess we had a P1 who was a healthy guy in his, I think, late 30s, and he passed away. So,
Don.
Now, our absolute condolences. But you are seeing more and more of that, where it's, you know, this idea that young, healthy people can't be affected by this. That's not the case.
4 more people died. Death toll now 224 in Oregon. Underlying conditions on all 4 of these new deaths. Now, we felt terrible about cases going over 300. Then we felt great about them coming back down to 168 the other day.
Yeah.
How do we feel about 217?
Look, I think we're going to get a little bit of the up and down. I think that kind of goes without.
It feels like the low 200s is our new, like, average.
Yeah. Daily average.
I still feel better here, and maybe it's just the news cycle, but I still feel like our part of the country is doing a good job of taking this seriously.
On that note,
it's not going to be everybody. We know that a third of the people don't give a rip, but when I'm out and about,
Masks
everywhere, social distancing, people taking it seriously.
That's right.
I think we're doing as good a job as we can.
Which is why we are seeing more cases, but it's why we're not seeing big spikes like California, Arizona,
Our hospitals aren't being overwhelmed.
The we're taking it seriously tip, yo.
Yeah.
The Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the OLCC, the dreaded OLCC.
Yeah, they're kind of biting the asses.
They and OSHA have been out checking to make sure establishments in Oregon are following COVID protocols. So they checked 800 bars and restaurants across the state over 4th of July weekend. What do you suppose they found?
How many?
800, Jason.
So we're saying how many weren't complying?
Right.
Well,
there's no number.
Okay.
Was it good or bad? Am I going to give you good news or bad?
I think it's going to be good. I'm going to go good news.
I will be giving you great news.
Okay.
In that the OLCC said that the vast majority of the businesses were found to be in compliance with the governor's social distancing guidelines.
All right.
There were only 3 parts of the state where issues arose and they had violations. Eugene, Medford, and Bent.
Freaking A.
You can never trust them.
No, you can't. Although in places like Bend, they have no cases. So I can see where they're like, yeah, screw you. We're going to do our own thing. I would tell you down at the coast, because I was down at the Pacific City, and we only went to like two places. We went to a pizza place in the Pelican. Everyone I saw, 100% of the people, and the restaurant was being really strict about it. Everything was good. And there was one guy at the pizza joint that was kind of being an ass, and he was shamed. And people were telling him to cram it.
What was his problem?
The lady behind the counter was a Hispanic lady, and so she had the mask on, and it was through the plexiglass, and you know she didn't speak perfect English, and he of course was, read me back my order, read me back my order. I want to make sure you got it right. Take down your mask. He was being one of these guys, and everyone, like, in the place was telling that dude to go pound
sand. You guys boo and hiss him?
It was actually pretty cool. And no one was, like, real confrontational about it, but there were probably six or seven people that told the guy to settle his ass down or go somewhere else, dude. We don't want you here. So I was, for a 4th of July weekend when people were boozed up there with the family, I was impressed.
All right. Multnomah, Washington, and Clackamas counties will not be ready to move to phase two of reopening on Friday. I know that will stun you.
Yeah.
But it's been 3 weeks, so they would be eligible Friday to move to phase two. But none of the counties are meeting requirements, and all hell's breaking loose. So.
Well, and again, this
they goes... will not real go back.
No.
But they're just going to remain in phase one, and they say it could be several more weeks before any decisions on phase two are made because they want to see what comes of the 4th of July weekend, and that takes time.
Sure. And here's the other thing too. I think the great Nick Daschle, not the late, just the great Nick Daschle, yes, and his Jack Sigma hair.
Brother of Barb.
He tweeted out, because he
noted puppy whisperer, Barb Daschle.
That is true. He tweeted something out today, and I hadn't really thought about this, but he goes, what does this have to do with, like, as far as high school sports? When we talk about college sports reaching a point where you've got to get guys back working out, if these counties are still in phase one, you can't have teams working out.
I think, Rob, didn't we talk about that on Thursday last week, high school sports a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so I do have a story on that front, too, yo, Tip.
Yeah. What?
Washington has delayed the start of high school sports season. If you saw that, your state.
Yeah.
They've just pushed it back 2 weeks right now.
And so, you know, Oregon.
So they pushed back the start of football practices to September 5th and the start of other fall sports to September 7th. I know that in Oregon, I think the big date was July 20th. Where they're going to decide what they're going to do.
Well, and again, if we're still in phase one in these major counties, and it sounds like, you know, that by the time that rolls around, you may still be in phase one. I don't know what the hell you're going to do about high school sports.
There's no chance high school sports happen. None.
Doesn't seem like it. They're saying the start of fall football practices had in the state of Washington been slated for August 19th, with the first game scheduled for September 4th. But with the new September 5th start date and the minimum requirement of 12 practice days for football, the first day that high school football games could be played is now Saturday, September 19th, okay, unless teams are allowed to practice on Sundays or the minimum practice requirement is shortened.
So, I mean, I guess there's no, I mean, if you did push football back and, you know, it's past Thanksgiving and into December by a couple of weeks, is that...
I feel like high school football does have... I mean, how many weeks is high school football?
How do they... Well, you got the playoffs, but I think the regular season is like 9 to 10 weeks.
Yeah, I just feel like...
Playoffs?
They have some wiggle room.
Yeah.
In terms of pushing it back and still getting it all in.
Sure.
Should something change.
Yeah. But again, if we push it back a couple of weeks and nothing changes, then it's a moot point because you're not getting anything right in as if it's as is.
For our next story, Barry, How I Met Your Mother.
Oh.
Stolen car edition.
Really?
Yes.
You steal a car and she's like, kidnapped in the back? It's a true love story?
That could be one way to look at it.
Well, I saw Mary
What happens?
Mary Kay Letourneau.
She's dead.
Yes.
Her and Bret Hart died on the same day.
Speaking of How I Met Your Mother, Bret Hart's still alive. Bret Hart's brother, not.
Owen Hart.
Yeah.
He's the one that died in the...
Yeah, the ring. Like they,
Kansas City.
Yeah, he fell from the...
I remember that. It was a big deal.
Fell from the ceiling.
Yes. Stolen car... There was a stolen car crash in Newburgh that I want to tell you about.
Okay.
But we're going to have to do it next on The Fan.
For
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is coming up. This is in the news. If you were wondering about Clark County cases, they added 37 new COVID cases today. No new deaths, so that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, what they want to do, how they count this in terms of, like, the phase reopening things, you know?
We're trying to get to phase three. No one can apply for phase four in Washington, but Clark County's trying to get to phase three.
Yeah. Well, they submitted their phase three app.
Yeah.
But Jay Inslee put a two-week pause on all applications because of the surges. He said, or not he, but the protocol is your rate of infections has to be below 25 cases per 100,000 of population.
Okay.
That's before a county can move into a more relaxed phase. Right now in Clark County, even though 37 doesn't seem like a lot, they have over 1,000 cases confirmed, so they're at 1,090. Mm-hmm. They have reached 52 cases per 100,000 in population, which
we would not be
not good enough.
Okay.
All right.
But I was talking to a doctor friend of mine, and I guess we're still fine as far as hospital goes. And
yeah, only 22 hospitalizations.
Supplies and all that, so I'm still taking that as a win.
This is out of the How I Met Your Mother department.
Yeah.
A police chase in Oregon ended when a driver fleeing authorities in a stolen car crashed into a woman driving another stolen car.
How about that?
The debacle took place Monday when police responded to a report of a stolen Toyota Land Cruiser driving through downtown Newburgh. A pursuit ensued. It lasted for several blocks until the driver crashed into another car near an intersection. Cops identified the driver of the first car as Randy Lee Cooper of Portland. After taking Cooper into custody, the police realized that the second car was also reported stolen in an unrelated crime 3 weeks ago.
Huh.
The driver of that car, Kristen Nicole Begu, was also found to be under the influence. Cooper was charged with unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, attempting to elude police, assaulting, and reckless driving. Now going to be married.
I was
going to
say, does this make them both heroes because they foiled a crime?
You could look at it that way, I guess.
Well, technically, they foiled two crimes because they foiled the other person's crime and kind of their own, right? So,
how about that? How often do you think that happens? Like, oh, there's that other car we were looking for.
Yeah, right there.
Thanks for smashing right into it.
Yeah, the cops show up and... If that happens and you know you're in a stolen car, don't you just do like a no counties? Like, you're like, hey, can we just like not, this isn't even my car.
They're pointing the finger at the other one. Like, yeah. That's a stolen car he's driving.
That's a stolen car you're driving.
No, like maybe, it's his.
Maybe you whisper to the other person. You're like, look, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I ripped this car off. So can we just, I did too. Hey, let's just look the other direction and.
Will you marry me?
And go our separate way. That would be a great How I Met Your Mother story. Like most people now, it's like, you know, friend of a friend, or, you know, most of it's like it's met online. There's very cool, unique stories anymore. Well, I was drunk and quite frankly, I was in a stolen car, if I'm being quite honest with you, plowed into someone else. And
guess what? She had stolen a car too.
Look, every relationship has to have something in common. You have to have like a basis of it. And what's wrong with major crimes?
By the way, New York Times, this was a couple days old, but you've been reading that coronavirus is airborne. There's mounting evidence to suggest that it does linger in the air. And the World Health Organization not accepting that science is puzzling many.
Yeah.
I've been reading about that.
I have. Where they're saying we're not taking this seriously enough that
it's not just droplets. Yeah. It's in the air.
Well, and there's...
Wafting.
Every day you read something new. There's another one I saw that they're saying early studies out of Spain are showing that even asymptomatic people... It was like 67% of those people are showing permanent lung damage and lung scarring from the coronavirus. So this idea that even if you don't get it, or if you do get it, oh, no big deal, you're healthy. They're saying that that's not the case, that this is not a good sign, that this could be causing long-term health implications even if you don't end up in the hospital.
That was not for everybody, but it could, right?
Could happen.
Of the people that they had... You know, they were testing asymptomatic people, and in their initial run, it wasn't a huge study, but yeah, they found 67% of those people had some form of lung damage and scarring, even though they were asymptomatic. So they said, obviously, more research has to be done on that, but this is why doctors are saying, please, let's not take this as, hey, if you just get this and you're asymptomatic and you're young and healthy, no harm, no foul.
I have other new study news, if you'd like.
Okay.
Okay, good. This is from one of my go-to publications that I read daily. the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences of the United States of America?
Yes, of course.
I get it sent right to my email.
Yeah.
A new study finds that silent spreaders may make up a majority of coronavirus cases.
Oh.
The research indicates that asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic COVID cases are a primary driver of the virus spread, making up half of the current cases. Scientists also used existing research to make predictions on what it would take to suppress another outbreak of the coronavirus. The model assumed that COVID-19 may be most contagious during the pre-symptomatic stage. Researchers found that more than a third of the asymptomatic infections would need to be identified and isolated in order to spread a slow a future outbreak.
Ah, hell. So we thought for a while that we had a good run there where the asymptomatic people weren't causing problems, and now we're finding out that the asymptomatic people...
Yeah, I feel like this one goes back and forth.
It does. Well, and that's the thing, is they're saying that this is so new that, like, every day there's new research being done, and...
So
those people that do, and I get why it can be frustrating where you're like, hey, it's hard to get a concise message and things are changing. But as the information changes, it evolves. And unfortunately, I think you get a lot of people that are just in the, well, I can't trust anything, so I'm just going to ignore the whole thing. And that's, boy, that's a real dangerous way to view this.
The end of that story about the study, it says, beyond that, researchers say, even immediate isolation of all symptomatic cases would not be enough to get spread under control. So we have to somehow find all the asymptomatic bros and broettes. Well, not all. We have to find a third of them.
Yeah. Well,
how do we do that?
Pray. Well, can we get Kenneth Copeland to pray for us?
Better testing, I guess. All right. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. Anybody?
Hello? Applause? I mean, I was pretty great.
Mike's not clapping. I am.
God, man.
Well, it's really hard
Thank
to
you,
impress
ladies.
Mike.
Thank you, ladies.
Woo. Mike, now that's just a pity woo. We don't need
that's
your...
like the Ric Flair. Woo. Woo.
Well, I didn't really... I the gave you kind book. Of like the half-hearted Ric Flair.
Ric Flair also not
still
dead.
Still alive.
I don't know
that
how.
That is a stunner.
If you were putting together a celebrity death pool, I would put Ric Flair right at the top.
Some people
he
just got the genes.
Terrible.
You think he's scared of COVID?
He
Hell
should,
no.
He should be. I think that guy has every underlying health condition that you can have.
The Hot 5 at 5 Top 5 Sports Stories of the Day is coming up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.